Live and local on 92.3 FM Talk in Smith and Mason Valley, 99.1 FM Talk, and 99.1FMTalk.com.
You look like you just walked off the set of Gunsmoke.
Thanks, yeah, I tried.
No, John, I love that. I love that. I never get to say this on the show. That is my all-time favorite TV show, is Gunsmoke. It's always been Gunsmoke. And I try to get home by 1 o'clock in the afternoon because at 1, I don't know why this is, but 3 different networks run old episodes of Gunsmoke. There's INSP and MeTV, and there's another one. And so at 1 o'clock, I get to pick out the best episode. I tell you, that show, the best writing, great direction, the characters, the acting, and your place makes me think of Kitty and the Long Branch. It really does. We're talking about the Odeon in Dayton, Nevada. Hello, Chris Pattison.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me again today.
You really didn't have to dress up and wax your mustache for this.
Oh, there's no wax in there. It naturally curls up like that. And this isn't dressing up anymore. This is kind of my everyday attire now.
Oh, man. I bet the ladies love it, right?
Oh, all the middle-aged women love the mustache.
The Odeon in downtown Dayton is the history-rich saloon presenting lectures, pasties. Is that right?
So pasties was a previous pasties? Owner. I took ownership of it in May of last year.
Whenever I see that word, I think it's either pasties or somebody forgot to put in the R.
Well, pasties are a thing too, but that we don't serve those.
Okay, what are pasties?
Pasties, it's like a meat pie, but that was a previous owner. We don't do that. We have we're renting out the kitchen.
Oh, well, it's on your website. Okay.
Oh yeah, that must came off the old website. But Little Chef Giovanni is opening up her own restaurant, so we're gonna have full service food.
Okay, yeah. Cool. You have live music there. The address is 65 Pike Street, and for folks who haven't been to the Odeon, Chris, or do you say Odeon?
It's pronounced Odeon, and Odeon's actually Odeon. A Greek word.
It yeah.
means music hall.
I thought it meant singing place.
Yeah, singing place, music hall. That was the original foundation of the word Odeon. And Odeon, there's places all over Europe with that same name. And we're the only one here that I know of in the United States.
It was the old Roman, ancient Roman center of music and poetry, the Odeon. It signifies a place for performance, and that's you. You have those, music and events, and there's an event today, Chris.
Yep, today we're having the a poker tournament that's a fundraiser for the Dayton High School Boosters Club for Safe and Sober Grad Night. I think so far we sold 50 tickets. It's happening tonight at 4 o'clock, but we also have free live music. We have a violinist, a pianist, and we have a country music star, Reed, is coming. We have food. Little Chef G hasn't opened the restaurant yet, so we've brought in a catered truck to serve everybody. And, of course, the bar will be wide open.
This opened not that long ago.
Well, I took over ownership in May. The Odeon was built in 1863. And there's been a lot of owners over the years.
And what have you changed?
Well, I'm more into local history. You know, like we were talking before, my great-grandfather worked for Mackey Fair, Flynn and O'Brien, the Sucho Tunnel, all this local stuff. And for my demolition business, I do a lot of property cleanup and junk removal. So I've acquired a lot of historical artifacts that litter the walls of the Odeon and the shelves.
What did you discover there? Something really special?
I've discovered all sorts of things. One recent find was three pictures of a gentleman when he was a kid. And then in 1919, in the 38th Balloon Squadron, World War I, and then him as an adult. So I have those three photos, and he grew up in Carson City, right next to each other. So we have lots of different local history, not just distant Comstock history, but more recent and in between.
Do you live in Dayton?
No, I live in Carson, but just not far from Dayton.
Right okay, next for folks house. Who haven't even been to Dayton, describe that town.
Dayton is the beginning of the Comstock. Did you know that Dayton's actually the oldest settlement in Nevada?
I heard that.
I'm sure you've had that discussion before. Genoa was founded in 1851. Dayton was 1849 with Abner Blackburn, went the first gold discovery in Gold Creek, that's right next to the Odeon. All of our buildings there that are still standing are historic structures. We have the Union Hall, Jay's Bistro, Tap House, the Historic Society, the old community center. And what's really neat, all these buildings and more that we've lost, unfortunately, were in the movie Misfits with Marilyn Monroe and Clark Gable. And you can also see him in Honky Tonk Man with Clint Eastwood.
This fundraiser, is it, I think today, right? The poker tournament?
Yep.
Okay. It's a fundraiser for Dayton High School. And how can folks take part in that?
Well, I think tickets are kind of sold now, but we are having raffles and auctions. So please come on by and donate to the kids if you're in the area. It all starts at 4 o'clock, but you're welcome to come sooner or later. The party goes through the night.
Through the night?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so is the place closed for this event?
Oh, no, it's open to the public.
Oh, awesome, man. And what? Yeah.
We have an upstairs hall, the music hall, the actual Odeon Hall that the Oddfellows had built. That's over 3,000 square feet. That's where the poker and the music's going to be. The dining room will be open. The pool room will be open. That's all downstairs.
And you have plans to open a restaurant.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the restaurant's opening. We've rented it out to Little Chef Giovanni. She's naming it Stone and Skillet. It's going to be upscale bar food.
I'm so glad this place is happening. You know, you really, what pride and joy that must be for the town of Dayton out there. We were talking about things you discovered in the place as you were rehabbing it. By the way, you did not modernize it in any way, right?
No, it's not being modernized. We're working very closely with Comstock Foundation and Comstock SHPO, State Historic Preservation Office. We're going to be doing some upgrades to the exterior, but it's all going to be historically accurate, just like the Sutro Tunnel.
What about this long-lost bartender's manual that was discovered in an abandoned camper, and you have revived it for the first time?
Yeah. So a local person to note was Rocky Adamson. He was the last constable of Dayton. And he passed away a number of years ago in the 60s, I believe. And this was his camper. The walls were falling off. There was enough pigeon, about 2 feet of pigeon leftovers in there.
Yeah.
And the family said, just crush it, get rid of it. And that's what we do at Carson Demo. But I also like to preserve history. And I'm a bit of a dumpster diver, too, of my own when I grew up. And we found this book in there written by these two guys that their intention was a Nevada bartender's encyclopedia. It never got published.
When was it written?
This one, they had the date 1980 was in there when they completed this version. So, but they had been working since the 60s on it. So, you know.
But their sources were like old-time recipes, right?
Yeah, yeah. No internet then, no computers. They were just building their own recipes off of their knowledge and books and from scratch, the way they knew how to do it. There's some really unique stuff in that book.
Are you using some of these recipes at your bar?
Definitely am. We're doing the pecan punch, of course, the way they do it. But there's also the pecan killer, which I don't think anybody's
heard. I've never heard of that, the pecan killer.
And there's some great recipes in there. And we're going to build on the book, too. I write in the Comstock Chronicle local history stories. We're going to put that in the next iteration of the book. But you can pick this one up. It's been republished. It's only $9.99 there at the Odeon or buy it on Amazon.
So the pecan killer, is that an old, some miners put that together?
Yeah, well, the pecan punch is a Nevada state drink.
Right.
I've heard about it and drank it for a long time, even
well,
before 21.
How's the killer different?
It's a little bit stronger than the pecan punch, which is already pretty strong, and it's a little bit sweeter, too. But you got to come in and try it out in person.
Yeah, I told you this last time, didn't I? I'm going to be there. I've got to be there. Bring the wife. You have a famous comedian coming up in just a couple of weeks.
Yeah, yeah. We have three comedy shows coming up. Eric Schwartz, I think he has 250,000 plus followers. He's a Jewish Hispanic comedian. He's fantastic. We're selling tickets right now. And then we're going to have Kevin Farley is coming to the Odeon. And we're
Kevin Farley?
Yeah, yeah. So
that's Chris's brother, right?
That's right.
He's coming there.
Yeah, he's coming to the Odeon. We are bringing Old Town Dayton back to life.
You really are. Okay, we're going to take a break, folks. Let's talk Dayton. 884-9910. Dayton doesn't, I mean, everybody talks about Genoa, the oldest this, the oldest that. No, Dayton, you say it's old.
Oh, 1849, it predates to Genoa.
Yeah, take that, Genoa. 884-9910. Are you team Chester or team Festus? We're talking Gunsmoke here. I'm team Festus. You know, Chester was great. Dennis Weaver, he was great. But Festus, actually, it was because the show Gunsmoke went from a half hour to an hour. And so the character, Chester or Festus, had a lot more time to develop his character. And you would have Festus talking to Doc all of Festus's crazy things and his terrible coffee. I'm telling you, I miss that show. I really do. But it's still alive. 400 episodes, I think they did of this.
We're playing old-timey shows all the time. But personally, I'm more of a Rifleman fan. Chuck Connors is my guy. I even learned how to do the whole swing.
I argue with folks all the time who think Bonanza is it. And I think, you know, Bonanza's more local. It was based on north of Tahoe, according to the Ponderosa map and everything. I loved Bonanza as a kid, but as an adult, it's kind of childish. I don't know. Spooky. It's kind of goofy.
I grew up going to the Ponderosa Ranch and loved it there.
Okay, I never got the chance. I came here in 76 and never went to it. Now, they said that, the episodes are filmed here. Well, I think they filmed a little bit, right? They filmed some exteriors and things like that. But the rest of it was a Hollywood set. I mean, you could really feel that even on the outdoor scenes outside the ranch house.
Yeah.
That was a set. But what was the Ponderosa Ranch near Tahoe like?
Well, the Ponderosa Ranch was an incline village.
Incline, okay.
Before you make the left incline, go straight, it's on the right-hand side. It's a parking lot now. It's all fenced off. But it was an amusement park. You'd be able to go in, and we could do the hay rides, the pancake hay ride in the morning. The actors would come out and do a shoot-up. You get up to the top and eat pancakes, come down. They had all the different, the house, the stores, the church. My parents almost got married in that church, but instead they got married in Lamoille, which out by Elko.
It's a beautiful town.
Yeah. So Ponderosa was amazing. We would go
How
all
could
the time.
Something like that not exist anymore?
From what I remember, the old man died, the family got it, and they just let it deteriorate. A lot of the artifacts that were taken from the Ponderosa Ranch are actually in Dayton now. There's a gentleman that owns a huge section of land across from the community center, and that's, you see all these artifacts out there, and many of them came from the Ponderosa Ranch.
There's a lot of these old Western theme parks that are just abandoned, dilapidated. Vegas has one. I forgot the name of that one. The story about how this Ponderosa Ranch disappeared sounds a lot like Reno's old Great Basin Park with a roller coaster and everything. You don't understand how things like this could not. That really made a great Western. Where's the Old West anymore?
Well, we're bringing it back. I think
that's right.
Davros, Anthony, our lieutenant governor, is working really hard traveling internationally to bring tourists to this area. He's been to the Odeon. He's been to Sutro. And not just Dayton and our area of the Comstock, but I think local history is being revitalized, and there's people that are getting more into it now, and people that have funding that are delving into the tourism portion of it to bring these types of things back to life.
Chris Pattison bringing back the Old West at the Odeon in downtown Dayton, 65 Pike Street. One more segment with him. I'm going to open up the phone lines, 884-9910. The question is, Team Festus or Team Chester? Favorite old TV Western. How about that? I love old TV Westerns. Bam, bam, dollars. 1019, I'm John Potter, live and local, back shortly. 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 1019.
On an Android? Get the app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
Online with the free app and on air at 99.1 and 92.3 FM. I'm coming up, so
you better get this party started. I guess that's me. Okay, Mr. Party here. Actually, this is Chris Pattison. I'm John Potter, live and local, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. I'm sorry, I got in a very animated discussion here about Dayton itself is... We like to preserve the Old West, but the way you're talking, Chris, a flood of new construction coming generated by that darn old USA Parkway. What's going on there?
Well, so there's many developments going on. We're actually, Dayton doesn't have a hotel. We're two hotels are proposed. One is moving forward. Traditions is being built, which is hundreds and hundreds of homes. I think there's 600 on the books for that location. That's Traditions Project One. They're building a new government complex named the Charlie Kirk Government Complex. We had a shovel breaking there, recently, and they built the new road, which is now 2 years old, from USA Parkway to the Lyon County side. You know, we talk about 80, but all that development is coming down this way towards Lyon County. More houses, a huge roundabout. There's a truck stop being built with restaurants in it in Silver Springs, of all places. So everywhere from Silver Springs to Dayton is getting massively developed because it's quicker and easier to come from that side than Fernley, Fallon, or even Sparks.
I expected Silver Springs to just explode, but every time I drive through there, I don't really notice anything different.
Well, Silver Springs, I think, is going to get a lot more.
I don't know what's holding it back there.
Dayton's getting it. It's just infrastructure. There's not a lot in Silver Springs. It's going to come eventually, but Dayton's getting a lot more of it.
I remember Lance Gilman telling me years and years ago, we had one of these press get-togethers before the first warehouse was built on USA Parkway, and he says, "Hey, you guys, you want to make a fortune, buy land in Fernley."
Yeah, Fernley is exploding.
And he told us, and we didn't do it, and now it's big bucks out there in Fernley.
It is, and I think Fernley incorporated also within Lyon County, so they're their own tax structure within the county as well.
But aren't you bummed a bit that Dayton is getting bigger? I mean,
well, I'm not bummed against development as long as it's done in a controlled way, and people say that all the time.
Yeah.
But we really need to focus on educating newcomers to local history and welcoming them instead of saying, "Oh, you're Californian, go away." Well, then they build their own community. Welcome them and show them the way we are. Teach them how to pronounce the words, you know, piz and switch. Most people don't even know what that is. There's all sorts of local community historical things.
Yeah.
And if we involve them and welcome them, then we can drive the development in our own way, right? So places like Sutro Tunnel, they wanted to develop over it. If we didn't walk in and turn it into a historical landmark, that would have been gone completely. If we didn't take care of Old Town Dayton, they would tear it all down and build new structures. So if we stay involved and active in all of these meetings in the government and help control the growth direction, because if you don't, it just gets out of control and they do it their own way.
Good luck.
Yeah.
I remember when the place to eat in Dayton was the one little pizza place. And I remember it was a huge deal when McDonald's opened.
Yeah, it was. Well, now there's
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we got a burger, Jack in the Box.
A burger?
We got a McDonald's, Jack in the Box, and Taco Bell.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, there's a lot coming into Dayton. You can get a larger house that's more affordable out there than you can in Reno or Carson.
So you're still with the Sutro Tunnel. You're a volunteer. How's that going? What's the latest on the Sutro Tunnel?
Sutro is doing fantastic. I don't know if you heard, but we got $500,000 from Travel Nevada donated to us, with an additional $700,000 from Helene Morris has raised for the nonprofit, our fundraising manager. We've just hired a new tourism director for Sutro Tunnel, who has taken over everything I was doing in between, and we sent in another drone recently.
Sent a drone into the tunnel.
Into the tunnel. The last time we sent a drone, it did LiDAR and 3D rendering and showed us if it was actually a possibility to clear the collapse and start building into it, which it did. This one showed us even further back and showed us new soil composition. Instead of just an alluvial loose rock, we get into hard rock. We found a dam. We found clay. It's incredible what's back there.
Is there a finishing date set?
No. This is going to be an ongoing project. We have
It's huge.
Teams in there right now. You have to do it historically accurate, too. But once you get into hard rock and different soil composition, no timbering. And then you get further back and you start doing square set timbering, like you've seen through the Comstock. So that changes things, too.
You did a section where it was surrounded by rock inside. You put up wood walls and a wood-finished ceiling in?
Yeah, so it's...
But why did you do that? Because doesn't that take away the old original look?
Well, we don't want anybody to die. And the original look is...
That's a good reason.
Yeah. Well, we're doing it based off of Adolf Sutro's original plans. He originally did an arch structure, which predated the square set timbering system. So this, what you see now, is a rebuilding of what he did. And it's alluvial fill. Like if you dig a hole on the beach and somebody steps next to it, it collapses. That's the type of soil we're dealing with now, except for boulders the size of a car. So we have to do this. Once we get past this loose soil, the alluvial, and get into hard rock, then we'll be able to not even have any timbering. You'll just be able to touch the walls.
But you already do tours.
Yep. We do tours all the time. Right now it's private tours. You got to go on the website and book one. Mm-hmm. You can get a tour from...
What's the website?
It's thesutrotunnel.org.
Oh.
Yep.
Okay.
Pretty simple.
Are you going to go the haunted route with the tours?
When it's I first tempting, started this, like 5, 6, 7 years ago when we first started.
I mean, that's money, the haunted route.
It is, and I learned the hard way. Some of these, the haunted groups are very trauma. They've always got, not all of them, but there's a lot of drama oriented with these haunted tour groups, and they all hate each other, or they all love each other, and it's a mess. It's really tough to deal with. But we did have HBO out there, Discovery Channels.
What about the guys with their funny meters trying to find a ghost? Have they been there?
Oh, yeah, they do that. Well, Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures was there. He was saying the ghost is making me take shots.
Come on, it's phony, right? What do these guys do?
I think it is. Yeah, but, well, you know, some of these people are really into it, and they truly believe.
You see them behind the scenes and what sets off their sensors and things like that. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, just Google Sutro Tunnel Chris Pattison ghosts, and you'll see all sorts of silly videos.
You were on the thing?
They've had me on several of them.
What would old man Sutro think of all this?
They think it'd be horse feathers.
That's an old 1800s cuss word, folks. All right, before you go, I think this is in your magazine. You wrote about how the Sutro Tunnel saved Virginia City.
It did. I'm glad you read
tell
that
me
one.
This, tell them the story.
Well, in the 1920s, there was so much snow that it completely made the roads impassable. The trains couldn't get up to Virginia City.
They couldn't get food.
They were starving up there for weeks without food or supplies. So what the townspeople of Dayton did is they collected up potatoes. They had a mass storage of potatoes, brought them to the Sutro Tunnel, carried them all the way through the tunnel, which is 3.88 miles, and then up the elevator to the Savage Mine, and delivered potatoes to the people of Virginia City and saved them so they could get through the winter and not starve to death.
There'd be mass deaths if that did not happen. There's no way to get food there at all.
Yeah, so if nothing else came good out of the Sutro Tunnel, at least this one thing did save lots of people's lives.
Well, let me just tell everyone to go to the Odeon in downtown Dayton, the History Rich Saloon. Live music, comedians coming, lectures, and food. The restaurant is coming soon at 65 Pike Street. God bless you for all you do to keep the Old West, and God bless the Odeon. It's funny saying downtown when you're talking Dayton. The Odeon in downtown Dayton, the hours, Tuesday, Wednesday, 4 to closing, Thursday through Sunday, noon to closing. God, you even have a happy hour. It is the perfect place to go, the Odeon in downtown Dayton. Thank you, my friend, for coming by.
Thanks, John.
All right. It's always a pleasure. Chris Pattison there. I'm John Potter, live and local, open topic, starting after the news from then to noon. So we got a lot of local news that happened, and definitely want to hear your take on things. I'm John Potter, live and local, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, Fox News, and we have Phil filling in for Greg Neft with local news next. FM News Talk, time 10:32.
Is FM Talk.
Live and local, John Potter, each and every Saturday night to noon at 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. We're up to 39 degrees currently in Reno with a lot of sunshine. I just saw this. Is McDonald's trying to pull a fast one on customers with the McRib? That's the question the legal system may have to answer as the fast food chain stands accused of false advertisement. McDonald's is being sued for offering the McRib sandwich, even though the meal does not have pork rib meat. McDonald's kicked off this McRib comeback. Actually, it was called a McRib farewell tour late last year. It never came here, by the way. It never came back here. The last time we saw a McRib, I think, in Reno in town was, 2020, 6 years ago, I think. The nearest McRib sandwich from us right now is, and would you believe there is a McRib location website? And I looked it up. It is Tigard, Oregon, 438 miles away. I have to say, though, we're not missing much. Have you folks had one of these? Anyway, McDonald's released a statement saying the claims that the McRib has no pork rib meat are inaccurate and the sandwich is made with 100% pork, at least some part of the pig. I think if you're going to sue McDonald's, it probably ought to be sued for mental manipulation. They say, oh, the McRib is back. And 6 years ago, they ran an ad. And like Pavlov's dogs, I immediately drool and I respond and I say, oh, my gosh, McRib is back. And so I go. And when I finally get to the window, I get it out and I take a bite and I remember, oh, that's right. No one likes the sandwich. It's not good. And the reason they don't sell it all the time is because it's not good. And I'll leave that there. I do the same thing with the Shamrock Shake. You know, they play me like a fish. Shamrock Shake comes out and somebody will call me or, you know, even on this radio show. Hey, John, the Shamrock Shake is back. And I will drive. It'll just say Shamrock on the sign outside the McDonald's and you pull in. You have a smile on your face because, you know, like I'm just as brainwashed by McDonald's as everybody else. But the deal is we take a sip and it's okay. Is this like, is this the same as vanilla or is there some mint in here? Listen, I love McDonald's. Their fries are still fantastic. Traditionally, I have been a quarter pounder with cheese person. However, the price of every darn thing at every darn restaurant is through the roof. I mean, the fries, I think they're I think that little packet now was about $4 last time, or is it more? Anyway, the point being, we've been priced out at McDonald's, and not just at McDonald's. You know, we went to another place here the other day. I don't want to say anything about it because we really like the place. We love the people who work there, but we go and we sit down and, oh, they got new menus, which is tough because at this place, I mostly order by pointing at the picture. Okay. I don't want to disrespect your language or embarrass myself by butchering this, but if I could have some of this right here on this picture, I would be so grateful. And then it's, wow, look at the price. And it was like, we can't do that. We literally stopped at a diner and ate like diner food. And the two of us paid $58 and we didn't order anything special. It was two coffees and two diner lunches. This is not a whack on diners. It's not a whack on a restaurant. It's not a whack at McDonald's. This is all happening for a reason, right? The cost of doing business in Nevada has gone up. Labor, the cost of supplies, the food costs in Nevada have gone up, and naturally, that all falls to the consumer, and as consumers, to be honest with you, at our house, we're just staying home a whole lot more. Let's go to, let's do John here first. Hey, John is calling from Reno. I appreciate your call at 884-9910. Good morning, sir.
Well, good morning. How are you today?
It's all right. I'm cold.
Well, it's pretty nice outside right now.
Yeah, okay. So you're calling about, the toll road.
Yeah, so I lived in Elko for 25 years, and I was on the planning commission. Mm-hmm. And people would want to come in. I'll try to make this as short as I can.
Yeah.
They want to build 500 houses. Okay, that's fine. 500 houses, times two cars, added up every single day. I was like, okay, that's fine. We'll approve it, but you got to do the infrastructure first. You got to fix the roads first. You got to make the roads to where they can handle the traffic first. And they're like, well, we'll do that afterwards. I was like, no, you do it before. And I don't know why all these warehouses are out there aren't just shoveling out wheelbarrows of Scrooge McDuck money to fix the highways so they can get out there. It's all on them. And it's all parked on Story County, too, for letting them do it and get away with it without improving the infrastructure first.
They didn't think of it first. You're right around here, it seems. I think they had, stars in their eyes when Tesla came out and talked about what they were going to do. I think by now they know to ask, at least I hope so, that you take a big part of the cost of the infrastructure when you build your business. John, I appreciate the call. Thank you so much. Let's go to Paul calling from Virginia City Highlands. Hello, Paul. Good morning. I'm glad you called. Go ahead.
Good morning, John. Hey, I wanted to talk about this, even though it's over a month and a half out, because it has to do with the weather we had a week and a half ago. Remember, we had that snowstorm, and it hit the valley, and mm-hmm. how bad the roads were, how many spinouts there were, and everything. Can you imagine if the community started an hour earlier? And remember how nice it got when the sun finally got up and got started thawing things out, and the traffic incidents dropped dramatically. So we're on standard time now, and this is the reason to go on standard time in the winter. A lot of people don't, they wonder why we do the switch. So this is what I like in the winter is standard time, because that extra hour of sun in the morning, it melts the ice on my windshield of my car. I don't have to scrape it as much. The roads are better. Traffic starts moving quicker. But in the summer, that extra light in the morning doesn't do me any good. I'm not up that early, and I'm getting ready for work. But in the evening, having that hour of light in the evening is awesome. I take full advantage of that. I'm up out until the sun goes down. So that's great, my reason for daylight savings time.
Right.
Yeah. And great, I explained
point,
it to some of them.
All these people calling, why can't they run the city? Or the country. You're right. I was just griping. The first thing I said when I came in on the air this morning was, I am so tired of scraping that windshield each and every morning. And it's a tough frost. Very thin layer, but back and forth, back and forth. And this would solve it if the sun were out just an hour earlier to burn that off. I'm not one of these fancy people who have what they call a garage where they put the vehicle.
Yep, me too.
I don't have that. But great point. Again, somebody else has a great point. Why don't we do this? Why is nobody calling on the McRib or Gunsmoke? I don't know.
I could give you my reason on the McRib, but you probably wouldn't like it.
I'm not that picky. Paul, I appreciate your call, my friend. Thank you so much. The call before, talking about the roads, that seems to be the hottest topic lately locally. And it just reminds me, I just talked to a new resident in Sparks. And, of course, we all ask, where are you from? And this guy, he said Los Angeles. And I said, culture shock. And he gave me this weary look. And he said, when you go on the 405 at 9 o'clock, in California, they put the in front of the highway numbers. I don't know why. You can tell somebody from California, the 80, the 390. Shut up. that's how you can tell a recent California transplant here. Oh, I take the 395, then I get on the 80. They really do talk like that. But he says to me, when you go on the 405 at 9 o'clock at night and your car stops and sits for an hour and a half without moving an inch, you can be darn blessed that we live in Sparks, Nevada. He said, John, it's a great town. It's an easy town. It's a cold town. We all know that. Believe me, I know all about that from last winter and this winter. But he says to all of us, really, that you should be very proud of your town, because in a lot of ways, it's really very lovely. It's easy. It's quick to get around. And you don't sit in traffic for an hour, and you don't move an inch. Now, me, if I lived in L.A., I would live as close as possible to my workplace. But everybody I've said that to said that is just not possible. The young people who now do the news on our local TV, and God bless them, they're working. I respect them. I rejoice in the happiness they have learning in their first TV news jobs. But more than any time in our nation's history, they want to move up to the big cities and the bigger money. And it's not just here. Entire small towns in places like Nebraska and Iowa, they are ceasing to exist. We're in an age where the young people don't want to stay in a small town. And it is such a problem that these two states, Nebraska and Iowa, offer free land to outsiders to replace the natives who moved. Free land if a newcomer builds a home. And the young are not looking to run the farm or work in the little radio station like I did in Valparaiso, Indiana, reporting corn and oat and pork belly prices on the morning news. And I remember not wanting to leave that town. I was there 5 years in Valparaiso, Indiana. And I remember telling my best friend there when I first got hired part-time, I said, if only I could reach the point where I'm full-time here on the morning show in Valparaiso, I'd be set. I'd be happy with that all my life. And my buddy Dougie Fox, he stopped me on our walk. He said, no, you can't do that. There's much more for you out there. And I didn't quite get that because, you know, I had a habit, I still do, of falling in love with every city I work in. And I had to be cajoled out of those jobs with bigger offers, bigger lessons and experiences I needed in life. But it's true. I loved every city and town I worked in. I never understood people who tell me they hated a city or state. There's so much to love about the USA, honestly. So I don't begrudge the young people on our TV news. I think Northern Nevada suffers a bit because they don't really get involved in our community. They don't join the clubs. They don't speak at banquets. They don't get on the boards of charities. Since they plan to average to spend maybe 2 years in Reno. And again, I'm not attacking them personally, but they have their priorities. They have a career to grow, and I'm not holding that against them. We're not all made the same. And some of us, we think it is the greatest place ever, and we can't imagine ever leaving it. I hope I didn't get too much off topic. I'm John Potter. Phone lines open to 884-9910. And it's just me until noon. And anything you want to bring up, we're here for you. And I love hearing your ideas. 884-9910. Going to take a short break. Be shortly back. 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk time, 10:51.
On an iPhone? Get our app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
Hello.
John Potter, live at local 10:55 is our time. Fox News coming up in 5 minutes. This just out from Iran. Iran's leader Khamenei accuses Trump of inciting deadly protests. A U.S.-based rights group says 3,090 people have been killed. There's no sign of new protests in Iran today, as a hardline cleric today called for executions. Word is the internet is finally being restored after days of blackout. Residents say,
yeah, you better say,
they are not free to tell the truth to the press. Come on. Iran blames foreign influence and has arrested what they call ringleaders. And for our part, Fox News this morning says an Iran missile strike remains on the table, has not happened. As U.S. military assets head to the Middle East, Iran has 31 states or provinces, whatever you call them. In every one of them, in the larger cities, there have been very active protests going on against the Iranian government. And we have no idea how many people have really been murdered or arrested. We don't know. because these high-up religious guys, they cut off the internet. They shut down the cell phone towers. They have turned off the state municipal telephone system, and there is still no communication within Iran, and there's virtually no communication out of Iran. And, you know, this is, I suspect, high evil done against these people. You know, inflation is terrible. There are some other economic problems come about as a consequence of sanctions imposed by the United States and others. But mostly, their problem over there comes about because it is a religious dictatorship. And it has been since, what, like 1979 or something. And it's been a boot on the neck of these good folks over there. And it is political oppression, enough said. Let's go to the phone. Mark calling from a Spanish spray. Are we talking roads again? Mark, good morning. Glad you called. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Good morning, Bill. I live very close to where that La Posada would be one of the routes they want to take over the hills to USA Parkway. And I know a lot of my neighbors work over there, and they complain about having to go all the way down to 80 and go through that gap. And it's terrible. I come from California too, so terrible traffic I have to put with an asterisk. But I think, yeah, that would serve people like that well. And, but I'm, you know, if you ever been down La Posada, it's four lanes wide already and with a really big right of way. And it was intended to go, it goes up to the top of a hill and just stops. Well, I can see where it's going to go, but if we get a lot of semis coming down that hill, my house is about 150 yards. I don't want to hear those Jake brakes coming down the hill, because there's a distribution center that's not far on Pyramid. So all that traffic.
Yeah, that's going to be a choke point there. Roads like La Posada joining in the supposed highway that's going to be going there. I appreciate your call, Mark. Got a break for news.